Blog Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the Night Zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, and we will control all that you hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind of the Night Zone.
The Night Zone's guest tonight in the shadows is Mr.
Paul Dale Roberts.
Paul is making a return visit with us, bring us up to speed as to the goings-on over his Christmas break. And, boy, we have some dynamite stuff. Paul was in Aruba, went down and checked out the Natalie Holloway case. Just to tweak your memory, let's remind you about Natalie Holloway. She was
aged 18, weighed 110 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes. Natalie Holloway, graduating honors student at Mount Brook High School in Birmingham, Alabama. She was participating in a senior trip with classmates on the Caribbean island of Aruba when she disappeared. Apparently, she was last seen Monday, May the 30th, 2006, at approximately 01:30 hours, leaving Carlos and Charlie's nightclub. After missing her return flight home, Natalie's passport and luggage were discovered still in her hotel room. Foul play is suspected or abduction off the island by person or persons unknown.
If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, you are advised to contact the FBI tip line at 1-877-628-2533. We have some new revelations for you tonight on that case. We'll be right back with Paul Dale Roberts, HPI Paranormal, right after this. Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered, written word. The complexity of universal understanding is only recently being understood. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of men to form a workforce, a slave world for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis. China embraces citizens' reports of UFO contact. Reports of incandescent or brightly colored balls of light, shafts of light, or structured flying craft. To date, there have been over 10,000 reported and documented crop circles throughout the world. Of the phenomenon in the world media and the internet has allowed more information to be shared.
The Night Zone
and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you.
KVNMTO. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone, coming February. Watch for the listings.
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And definitely having some funky music playing in the background tonight. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Night Zone. Tonight, we do have back with us our roving reporter, Mr. Paul Dale Roberts. His return with the first 2009 report on his recent travelings and investigations. Paul Dale Roberts, General Manager, Ghost Rider with the HPI, can be found at HPI Paranormal, that's one word, HPIParanormal.net. Paul is also a contributing writer for our friends over at the AlienSeekerNews.com, Don and the crew. But to recap, before we bring Paul on, for those European friends that joined the network, to recap, in 2008, we discussed many topics with Paul: paranormal events, Bigfoot, UFO sightings, ghosts, three women who claim to be werewolves, Dead Pete, the zombie, vampires, and a former MIB operative. All of those shows are available on download at blogtalkradio.com archives. And we'd like to thank Paul, who is our residential James Bond of paranormal investigations. Paul, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you, Colin. I enjoyed doing your show.
And well, I appreciate you being here for sure.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing the show in Shannon McCabe's studio, and believe it or not, we're doing the radio show, and we're being filmed by one of our videographers, Brian Coleman.
Well, that's excellent. So I can actually get to see the faces you pull with the questions that I ask. I like that. It's kind of a two-way street on that, you know. That's pretty good. But so how does it feel to be known as the James Bond of paranormal investigations?
You know, I always loved James Bond. And it's so funny that you would say that, because in 1979, I was actually watching a James Bond movie, and I had just finished the Army from 1973 to 1976, in which I was working for CID, Criminal Investigation Division.
Right.
But I always saw these military intelligence guys in their suits, and I always was curious on what is it that these military intelligence guys did. So after watching James Bond, maybe about a few days later, I went to the Army recruiter and I said, what is it that these military intelligence guys do in the Army? And before I knew it, I was signing on the dotted line, going back into the Army in 1979 up to 1986, and I was in military intelligence as a 96 Bravo intelligence analyst. So it was James Bond that influenced me into military intelligence.
Well, that's good, because it tends to fit you. As I read the reports that you send down the line, there always seems to be a brightly haired, brown-eyed female or young lady from Colombia, or, you seem to surround yourself with some very fortunate ladies. So I'm quite impressed with you, Paul. Kudos to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Colin. Yeah, the women... in Aruba, they were, it was kind of different, because I went into a nightclub called Mambo Jambo, and
okay.
I met four bartender women, and I told them I'm a ghostwriter, and I started asking them and interviewing them about Natalie Holloway, and they said,
right.
Well, we want to see if you're really a writer, and so they looked me up on the internet, and they pulled up some of my articles, and they pulled up conversations with a serial killer, and the computer screen actually faces the bar. And before I knew it, I had all these people at the bar looking at our video of conversations with a serial killer. And so every time I walked into the nightclub, they go, oh, there's that famous ghost hunter. And so all these girls were surrounding me, and I'm going, okay. So I just went along with it.
I see. We're getting a report from our chat room that your signal is coming in fairly low, so we're going to work on that through Blog Talk as we continue the show. But you see, typical James Bond, you see, Paul, because what you didn't mention was that all the bartenders were female, and they allowed you to place the ghost girls' business cards on the seat to the club, and the DJ announced you. And he said that the ghost girls' business cards were placed there on the seats because an American ghost hunter and ghost writer was in Aruba. That must have been a party and a half that night.
Yeah, it was a party and a half, yeah. And they party till like 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's nonstop partying over there. I mean, sometimes I was wondering if they even had jobs, because it seems like all they did was party, party, party.
Well, Paul, I'm too much of a gentleman to ask if there was any downtime in Aruba, but a number of female characters popped up in your report, which we will discuss at length in a little while. But Aruban beer, pina colada shots, paradise, salsa dancing. I have a feeling that somebody had too much of a good time, Paul. Hang in there. We're going to take a quickie. We'll be right back.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVADMTOR, you are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Our old friend Paul Dale Robert, with his special brand of UFO and paranormal investigation. Paul Dale Robert, the Night Zone. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And I'm getting a semi-green light from Blog Talk. I think they've pumped up your signal a little bit there, Paul. So the last time you were here was just before Christmas. And so what have you been doing over the holidays up until your trip to Aruba?
Well, I've had like numerous private investigations. We just did one in West Roseville, in which we received, well, we actually, one of the investigators actually took a picture of a an anomaly that looks like a tornado vortex. And that was quite interesting. And also, too, we got some EVPs out of that house and everything else. So we've done a lot of private investigations where people are saying, hey, their place is haunted, they can't stand it, some of the entities are bothering their children. We had one in Stockton where they felt like it was demonic, but I don't really feel it was demonic. I think from what we got, it sounds like some very harmless activity over there. It was like a female EVP, and she's basically saying really nice things like, I love this house or something like that. So...
On the West Roseville story, that the background on that was your client lived in a new home, and her home was felt to be haunted, right?
Right.
Apparently, there were the home was built in 2005. There were rumors of pagan rituals taking place on the property and in the area, according to local history. And when she moved in, when your client moved in, she immediately began to get sick.
Right. The house was built in 2005, and it was built over, it seems like, a depression, because we received a satellite photo of the ground where the house was built on, and there was a large depression. And one of the things that we kind of look at is if there's any type of toxics in the soil, which could be causing her to get headaches and hallucinations and stuff like that. So we're trying to find a natural phenomenon answer. But the only thing is, with the house, we did get a couple of EVPs. So that shows something of a paranormal state.
Something is there, but you're not quite sure from which dimension or which domain it comes from.
Right. Well, a lot of the houses in that area, too, have claims of paranormal activity. So that makes it kind of interesting. And we're still looking into that depression in the soil. So trying to see,
right.
you know, if there's any toxins in the soil and stuff like that.
Could it have been an old meteorite cave cage, you know, the...
Well, also, too, the rock quarry close to the home, there was Irish miners. And some of the Irish miners brought some of their pagan beliefs over there and did rituals back in the 1800s. And according to the occupant, that some of these rituals are still continued on to this day. And she's found rocks in strange formations in her backyard. She's found her seat covers on her lounge chairs where there's strange burn marks. So we've observed all that. And like I said, we did get some EVP, so it does apparently look like the place is haunted.
Right. And right. Speaking of EVPs, we do have some EVPs coming up later while you were in Aruba, which we'll get to in the second half of the show. Do you, when you do an investigation such as this, what gave you reason to call for a satellite shot of the property?
Because she was saying that she was receiving headaches and she was nauseated, she was feeling sick. And when a person says that, when an occupant says that, perhaps there's like a mold or something in the house that's causing it. And with a depression, there could be some kind of mold activity in that depression itself. It could be some kind of toxins in the soil, which is
right.
causing her headaches and causing her to hallucinate and seeing strange shadows and stuff.
And did you find any toxins or anything?
We're still looking into that. So I have one of my investigators actually getting together with the county and looking at some of the records on toxin levels in that area.
How do you see it? Do you believe that possibly there is a some kind of an entity there, or do you believe that it's more earthbound as natural moss or mold?
Well, it seems like it could be like a 50-50 situation there. Since we did get the EVPs, we're still analyzing the EVPs with Audacity. So we're trying to determine if those EVPs are something from an unnatural realm. So if the EVPs show that they're voices from the unknown, then it would show me that that house does have some kind of paranormal activity. But we're still looking at the situation with the depression and in the soil and to see if there's any toxins there. So maybe it's a 50-50 type thing where she's seeing things
right.
because of the toxins, and maybe the place is actually haunted. So, but it's still under further analysis.
Well, I look forward to your follow-up on that. It sounds absolutely fascinating. And so where else in the country have you been before you took off to the sunny shores of Aruba?
Well, I've been something like 50 countries, so I've been all over the place. I mean, I've been to the Bridge
okay.
over River Kwai, which is a very haunted place. That's in Thailand, and it's very, when you walk into the area, so much tragedy, so many people died there, that even if you're not a sensitive, you're not a psychic, you're going to feel some kind of depression because it's a very, very sad place. And so now, you know, besides going to Mexico with Penn and Teller and Shannon McCabe and myself, we went over there. I went to Aruba, and then I went to the territorial waters of Venezuela. And Aruba is basically, a lot of people were saying there was a blonde phantom woman walking on the beach of Aruba, and I wanted
right.
to find out if that was Natalie Holloway.
Mm-hmm. And we will in a little while on that one for sure. But tell me about this trip to the territorial waters. That one sounds a little illegal and interesting. Tell me about that.
Oh, okay. Well, what I did was, I believe it was Burger King, if I remember right. But I met a captain over there, and I can't think of his name right now. But the captain had a boat, and what he did was I had to pay him, you know, under the table. I paid him $200, and he took me into the territorial waters of Venezuela. And basically why I wanted to go over there, because in Argentina you heard about the creepy little gnome. They have UFO flaps over there and stuff like that. Right. And also, too, in Venezuela, they have silver discs that are sometimes seen around the capital. So I talked to one of the boat hands, and he confirmed it. He says, yeah, you know, there are UFOs in Venezuela. They don't know about anything about a creepy gnome, but they do say there's little people that live out in the forest out there.
There seems to be little people that live out in the forest everywhere, isn't there? You know, it seems to be a common folklore, if it is a folklore.
Yeah, even like in Mount Shasta, I mean, we have stories of little people who actually came out with little bags of gold and would trade with farmers back in the 1930s. And a lot of people think that these little people are the last of the Lemurians that live inside the mountain itself.
How fascinating, how fascinating. So was this trip into the territorial waters legal, or was it kind of surreptitious? And did he meet another boat when he moved into those waters, or were you alone?
Well, I was on the boat with the captain, and I was thinking about maybe seven boat hands and the people who were actually worked on the boat itself. And the reason why they didn't dock is because Venezuela and Aruba have a conflict with each other. The president, Chavez, is in league or in cahoots with the Russian president, and they're looking at building oil wells near and around Aruba. And Aruba feels that Venezuela at some point in time will invade Aruba and take it over. So
wow.
That's nothing to do with Venezuela, and they don't want to dock there. And of course, Chavez is communist, Aruba is a democracy. So there's a lot of conflict there.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, Paul, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'll bring Chris Holly online with us, and we'll get to your main reason for your trip to Aruba.
In this part of Lincolnshire, the skyline is dotted with huge wind turbines, but today one of them isn't turning. People who live nearby say that it was hit by a UFO. Residents remember being woken in the early hours of Sunday morning by a huge crash. When the sun came up, one of the turbines was bent and broken. That came after several witnesses reported glowing spheres in the sky earlier the same night. The huge structures are built to withstand extreme conditions. Locals believe something collided with this one that its makers weren't prepared for. Indeed, the company which owns the turbines, Ecotricity, hasn't yet been able to work out what caused the damage. Here's Dale Vincent, the founder of the company.
While people were there on Sunday, we had the manufacturer's team there the next day, and they've been crawling all over it and the turbine, looking at the damaged parts. And we've shipped some parts off for some forensic testing to determine better, if we can, what the probable cause was. At the moment, we're left with no kind of firm favour as to what had happened.
One suggestion is that ice caused one of the blades to snap off, but despite searches of the area, that third blade is nowhere to be seen. And with official channels baffled, locals are drawing their own conclusions about what caused the mystery turbine mangling.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered, written word. The complexity of universal understanding is only recently being understood. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of men to form a workforce, a slave world, for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis. China embraces citizens' reports of UFO contact. reports of incandescent or brightly colored balls of light, shafts of light, or structured flying craft. To date, there have been over 10,000 reported and documented crop circles throughout the world. Of the phenomenon in the world media and the internet has allowed more information to be shared.
The Night Zone
and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you.
KVFM Talk. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Your host, Colin Knight.
Welcome to the shadows, and indeed welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight, and I have with me a special guest tonight, Pale Doll Roberts. You get that one, Pale Doll Roberts? Paul Dale Roberts.
Like that.
And, of course, our special our special co-host, Chris Holly. And good evening, Paul. Welcome back. Chris, good to see you. Glad you could make it online.
Well, I'm very fortunate tonight to be here with not only Colin, the Knight of the Canadian Rockies, but James Bond of the paranormal. It's a wonderful time to be
Chris,
with you,
you
Paul.
Like that, you like that nickname there?
It definitely fits, I will give you that. So, okay, guys, so you head off to Aruba. Obviously, your reason was to check on the Natalie Holloway case, Paul, to see if there was anything that you could glean from it.
Oh, well, it's kind of interesting. Hey, how's it going? Well, first off, I got to say hi to Chris. So, Chris, I love your articles, and especially I like the one interview with the vampire. You did an exceptionally great job on that.
Oh, thank you so much. And before we move on, can I ask Paul one question about where we left off? Paul, when you were on that illegal boat ride, did you see anything or experience anything odd? And did the people that ride those boats regularly tell you anything that you felt was a bit, you know, different?
Well, it was just that one boat hand, and he was just basically just giving me stories where he says that, you know, there are silver discs that fly around the capital of Venezuela, and he was talking about there are little people that are known to be in the forest. But did I actually see anything on there? No. In fact, when I was in Aruba, did I see the blonde phantom ghost of Natalie Holloway? The answer is no. But I did get a couple of EVPs, which Colin's going to play. But I did talk to some people who claim that they were associated with the circle of friends that Joanne actually hung out with. And Joanne is the guy who Natalie was with when she disappeared. And that was kind of interesting because they're saying, and all these people were, I mean, I interviewed a lot of people, and some people didn't even want their names in the article and stuff like that, but they said that the story is that Duran had met Natalie at the either the Senior Frog or the Charlie's, it was called Charlie, Carlos and Charlie. Thank you, Shannon. Shannon's over here, and she reminded me what I wrote in my article. But
my bark.
You know your bark, yeah. But anyway, Carlos and Charlie, or Senior Frog, and that's where they met Duran and Natalie. And Natalie came on to Duran, and Duran put drugs into her drink. And he and those two other guys, and I forget what their names are, drove her out to the beach, and then he got rid of the two other guys. And then Natalie went into convulsions. And she, well, he thought she died. So he contacted his father, and he claims in his confession it was a friend. But the people that I talked to said it was his father who had a boat, put Natalie on the boat, and took her out in the ocean and dumped her. And he was afraid to contact the police or contact any kind of medical people to help Natalie because he placed drugs into her drink, and he felt like he was going to get in trouble.
Hmm. Now, this, of course, is all alleged, and although I do believe that Aruba have now turned around and said that there are enough, there is enough information for them to have a look at this as a possible criminal action. So they're moving forward at snail's pace, really, when you think about it, but they are moving forward at least.
Well, I sure hope so, because I asked the people that I interviewed, I said, well, do the police know about this? And they said, yeah, the police know everything about it. They know that it was Durant's father that took Natalie out on the boat and dumped her. They know that Durant put drugs into her drink and everything else. So, and then I asked a lot of people, I said, is there really a blonde phantom woman on the beach? And when did this blonde phantom woman appear on the beach? And they said that she appeared after the death of Natalie Holloway. So it could be Natalie Holloway. I don't have any proof of it, but I went out to the beaches by myself, or there was a couple times where I brought some people so they can see how a ghost hunter does his thing. And I had Shannon McCabe's digital audio recorder out there, and I like her recorder better than my recorder. And so I was using her recorder, and I tried several times trying to get some EVPs where I was unsuccessful. Then, bam, I did get an EVP. Then I did it again. I was unsuccessful. And then, again, I got another EVP. So I got two EVPs while I was out there.
And you believe – go ahead.
Paul, did you find anyone who claims that they did see this ghostly blonde woman on the beach? Did you get anyone that, you know, really saw the thing for themselves?
No. Mostly they were saying that they heard about it or their friends saw it. I never found anyone who was just an eyewitness one-on-one where they saw the actual ghost. I talked to this one lady, and she said her girlfriend saw it, and her girlfriend claims up and down it was Natalie Holloway, that it looked like Natalie Holloway.
And what is it, just a woman walking along the shore, or, you know, how do they see it?
They said that she, like, walks around the beach area, and she sort of, looks down, and then she looks out towards the ocean.
Very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, Hans just handed me a quick note here. It says, a couple of weeks ago, the High Court of Aruba determined that there was enough evidence to continue an investigation that may lead to whomever disposed of Natalie's body after a drug reaction on the Aruba beach while with some nefarious tourist players. So that's an interesting report from Aruba.
Sure, it seems to fit right in with what Paul was told by the natives of the, you know, of the area.
Yeah, it sure fits, doesn't it, Paul? The other notice was all indications from many sources have determined that Natalie Holloway succumbed to an overdose reaction or a seizure, or possibly died by some other person's hands, and the body was disposed of in the ocean. What a horrible way to finish. But going back to this this ghost-like figure, does anybody identify her, like, in a clothing? Is it modern-day clothing? Is it is she in a bathing suit or a dress? What is there any information regarding that?
From what I was told, that she was basically a white, misty-type figure. It seems like she's wearing, Shannon, what is that called? Like a shawl or?
Sarong.
Okay, yeah, sarong. Yeah, okay. See, I don't know female clothes. Yeah, female clothes.
You only
too.
Just have to take off
No. But anyway, what's that called again?
Sarong.
The sarong.
Sarong. Yeah, and they said the one girl that I talked to, her girlfriend, said that she could make out the face and it did look like Natalie Holloway.
Okay. So she was wearing a sarong, something that would wrap around a bathing suit, just taking a leisurely walk on the coast and looking into the distance of the ocean.
Exactly. Right.
And this has become a folklore in that area.
It's starting to pick up pretty well. So almost everybody I talk to is aware of this story.
And it's always
right.
The same stretch of beach, Paul?
I'm sorry?
Is it the same stretch of beach, the same place on the beach?
No, they're reporting seeing Natalie in various sections of the beach. That's why I went into different areas of the beach, the coastline out there,
right.
Because they're seeing her in a fairly long stretch.
Okay. So it isn't a residual haunting, if you will. It's there's something more to it than that.
Right. And also, too, a couple of them said that it appeared like she didn't have any feet. That she was just kind of like floating along.
Right.
I'm sorry, I was just wondering, is this anywhere along here where you either got your sounds that you collected or the people's sightings, is it the same general area where they think she was last seen?
Actually, those two EVPs are actually in two different areas. So one was close to the California Lighthouse, and the other one was close to the Senior Frog Bar area. And that's California Lighthouse. Yeah, and so both areas, they're relatively maybe about 2 miles away from each other.
Okay. Right. Okay, hang in there, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll listen to these EVPs.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVADMTOR, you are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Our old friend Paul Dale Robert with his special brand of UFO and paranormal investigation. Paul Dale Robert, the Night Zone. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And the phone lines are indeed open. And I have with me Paul Dale Roberts, HPIParanormal.net. And we're talking about the Natalie Holloway case and the possibilities of some EVPs, which Paul managed to get while he was in Aruba on the beach area. So, Paul, which one would you like to lead off with first? And maybe what I should do is talk to Shannon. Since Shannon is the one that had to extract these sounds from your tapings, how do you think about that?
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, and Shannon would love to talk to you guys. Okay, and here's Shannon right here.
Hello. How are you doing?
And good evening.
Hi.
I'm doing very, very well, Shannon. Good to see you. So, Shannon, Paul comes back with some raw audio and throws it at you and says there's some EVPs on there.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to extract those?
You know, the first one that I sent you kind of sounds like a male. That one was a little bit hard to extract. I had to really kind of amp it up and slow it down a bit and to make anything
right.
out. But once you do that, it's kind of clear. So
yeah,
and the
that was
one was pretty
that
much
was the,
you know, cut, cut and dry. I was able to just, you know, put a little volume on it, and it was good. So, yeah,
right.
It was really
so
interesting.
The,
I was surprised that he actually got something on the beach, you know, with all of his parties.
The,
he's going to get any work done.
The one I don't know, is that the one you were talking about that is clear? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The don't know one sounds
okay.
Like a male to me, and I thought, you know, that was the one that was a little bit hard to actually extract. But, you know, once I got it out, I was like, wow, it really sounds like the guy saying don't know. But,
really?
You know,
so, okay, let's have a listen to that. Let's have a listen to that EVP and just hold on there, and we'll see what the audience thinks.
Natalie, how did you die?
So the question was, Natalie, how did you die? And the answer was, it sounded like somebody that had been crying for some time to me and said, don't know. What do you think? Let's listen to it again.
Natalie, how did you die?
You know, it sounds like a very confused soul.
Now that I'm listening to it on your air, I mean, it kind of sounds female to me. When I was listening to it on my computer, it sounded like a male, but now that I'm hearing it through your audio, it sounds like a female that's just been slowed down.
Yeah.
So what do you think,
Chris?
I think it sounds like a female that's been crying, too.
Yeah. It would sound like somebody that would be very, very confused.
Helps our report. It was really fascinating that he even got anything at all. I was really astounded. But, you know, what they say about water and spirits is, you know, spirit is attracted to water, so it makes sense that you know, you would catch something at the beach. But with the sound of waves crashing behind you, it's kind of, you know, I didn't think he was actually going to be able to get something, but I was really quite astounded and impressed when he did get something. So.
Now the second one is quite a bit more difficult to disseminate, and you had to work on that one quite extensively to extrapolate the voice, right?
Yes. No. The don't know one was the one that I had to really work on. The one that actually sounds like a female wasn't hard at all. That was very audible. It's just I had to
all right.
A little bit.
Great. Okay, let's listen to that and let the audience listen to
it. Is there anyone here?
It's me. That's what I got from that. It's me, but it sounded like it was somebody really, really forcing their energy to make themselves heard. That's what I got from that. Let's hear it one more time.
Is there anyone here?
It's me. Yeah, I definitely heard the it's me, Shanna.
I think so, too. I think you're right.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris?
It would be absolutely astounding if it was Natalie Holloway, and, you know, I hope for her parents' sake that it's not and that she's actually found alive someday, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, my question would be, if it isn't her, I wonder who it is that you picked up. Right. But it sounds like something was trying to make itself known, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody was kind of pushing the octaves to get known, eh?
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, I don't know, what's really interesting about when we do EVPs is I taught Paul this method that I coined where you do EVPs and you listen to it directly right after, so you know that if you have something. And Paul's
right.
been using that method, and he's really, really improved on getting his EVPs. And when he came back with this, and I literally just taught it to him last month, he comes back with this, and I was astounded. Wow, that is awesome. He didn't have anybody around him. It was, you know, pretty quiet. The ocean, you know, it makes noise, but it certainly doesn't make voices. And he says that there's no waves crashing in Aruba, so...
So it's fairly silent. Excellent. Well, Shannon, thank you very much. Thank you very much for those EVPs. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking with me, you guys. I hope you guys have a great night. I'll pass you back to Paul.
Thank you very much, Shannon.
Hey, one of the things that's amazing about Aruba is that the waves do not crash into the shore. It's all still out there. You can walk out there. Well, during the daytime, you can walk out there and see all the exotic fish. The fish swim around your legs. And it's absolutely silent out there.
So there is no current or major currents until you get further out at sea.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, when I was headed for Venezuela, you could see, some wave action over there. But around Aruba, especially around the area where I'm at, it's very, very still, the water.
Wow. That must be an amazing sight. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, I seem to remember about... Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's very, very, very quiet out there until they have these, what they call party buses, and they do this bar hopping thing, and they have all these people on the buses, and they party on the bus, they play loud music, and they go from one bar to the other. And there's been times where it was really, really quiet out there, and then one of these party buses would stop. You would hear all this loud music, and you have people coming out of the bus dancing on the street and everything else. So that's when it gets kind of crazy. So
Aruba is a very much a tourist destination.
It is very, very much. You have either Colombians, Venezuela, people from Venezuela, or you have a lot of people from the Netherlands in Aruba.
Because it used to be part of the Netherlands. Very few Americans, did you say?
Very few Americans go to Aruba. I think I met one couple from Canada.
Wow. That amazes me that it wouldn't be well-traveled like that. But it's mostly for a South American destination, that sounds with them. It's a South American resort?
The people from Venezuela and from Colombia, they're actually looking for jobs in Aruba. So they're looking to work in bars and restaurants and stuff like that. So they're not there for tourist reasons, but most of the people there for tourist reasons are the people from the Netherlands. Seems like there's a majority of the people are from the Netherlands and other parts of Europe.
Now, given that, of course, there's a bar every 10 feet probably on the main strip.
On the main strip, when you get into downtown Aruba, there's like a bar around every corner. Just like
right.
Here in America, you have a Starbucks around every corner. Over there, you have a bar around every corner.
Right. And Natalie Holloway supposedly left one of those bars at about 1:30 in the morning. But I noticed in all of the reports, nobody said that she left with someone, just that she left.
Say that again, Colin?
Well, most of the reports that I've heard with Natalie Holloway is that that she left the bar around about 01:30, but the reports say she left the bar. It doesn't say that she left the bar alone or with someone.
Yeah, but recently they did Joran did a confession to a person that he thought was a gangster from Amsterdam or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube on that. Yeah.
They had cameras in the van and stuff like that. So basically, in that confession, it sounds like he's saying that he left with Natalie from the bar.
Right.
When you were in Aruba, Paul, did anyone mention that there have been other, either locals or other tourists that maybe we don't hear about that also have been missing or, may have gone the same fate as this poor girl?
I did ask that question with other people, and it doesn't seem like there's any people that they were able to tell me were missing, but they did mention that there was at one time white slavery going on, and it was just a rumor that they were taking people from Europe with blonde hair, blue eyes, and shipping them down to South America for the cartels, like the Colombia cartel and stuff like that, and using them as some kind of sex slave. And they said that when the cartels were really, really strong, that's when people were being kidnapped, females being kidnapped, taken on boats to Colombia or Venezuela and used as sex slaves.
Well, trafficking is still a very prominent trade in many parts of the world. They have not given up on slave trading, that's for sure.
Right. Well, even
go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, when I was stationed in Germany, I actually witnessed something like that. I had met a German girl over there, and she had a chunk of skin actually cut out from her bottom leg. And, I mean, there was a real big hole in her leg. And I asked her, how did you get that hole in your leg? And she said that she was actually kidnapped from Germany and taken down to the Middle East, where they used her for a sex slave. They kept her drugged up on LSD and stuff like that. And they were using her as a sex slave out there. And her father had hired some investigators to go down there and get her, and they have paid a lot of money to get her back into Germany. So,
holy Toledo.
And that was in 1974, and that's when I was doing work with CID, and she was actually one of our informants. And so,
holy Toledo.
I was really surprised.
Wow.
And I said, so someone had actually tortured her because she was trying to escape, and they had cut a chunk of meat out of her leg.
Wow. It sounds like they tried to hobble her so that she couldn't run away, much like they do horses when they want to ruin a race. They cut the tendon, and the foot is no good, basically. Can't run. You can walk, but you can't run. But so your all of your investigations, Paul, where did it leave you with the Natalie Holloway issue?
Well, one thing is, I feel that, you know, I did pick up the EVPs. I can't tell you for sure if that was Natalie Holloway talking to me. A lot of people are saying they do see a blonde phantom woman on the beach. So you know how stories get spread around. So either they're actually are seeing something, you know, out there, or the story is just really just blown up and everybody believes it. So because I didn't find actually any eyewitnesses who could actually come up to me and say, yeah, Paul, I saw Natalie Holloway walk on the beach. I know for sure it was her because I saw it with my own eyes.
Right.
Nobody was able to tell me that. It was always one of their friends that saw it, or they heard the story. So it could be just a story, an urban legend that's really just blown up on that island.
Right. I know the story, the Holloway story, from what the mainstream media have reported to what the truth seems to be. There seems to be quite a few differences of opinion to the truth. I have to say that that there was a YouTube that came out about a year ago with Dan Young and Kelly Castile. And they broke a story disputing the mother, Beth, I believe it was. And according to them, that Natalie had no intention of returning home due to possible abuse in the family unit. And they came out, in fact, I believe it's still available on YouTube. So there's more dark passages of the story of the Natalie Holloway case, but most people, if not all, have come to the rationalization that Natalie succumbed to whatever had happened to her, and that she is deceased.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you, if it happened when Duran said it happened in his confession, that's a really sad story, because even now that she's passed on, and watching that confession on TV, I was so shocked because he was calling her various names and stuff like that, using the B word, using the W word, and I mean, the guy is just really heartless. I hope they arrest him, and I hope he faces justice, because basically he's confessed to it. And the only thing he said that he contacted a friend who had a boat that took Natalie out into the ocean. But according to people who claim that they know Joanne's friends, they said that it wasn't a friend, and he was protecting his father. That his father had a boat and took Natalie on that boat and dumped her out in the ocean.
Yeah. And it seems that seems to be the prevailing story throughout your report from numerous sources, that they pretty well know what happened. They just have to tie him to it and prove he did it somehow. And the confession is definitely going to go a long way to do that.
Right. And it is kind of interesting because didn't they arrest Duran's father, too, in the beginning? So.
But he's a judge, is he not?
Huh?
Is he not a judge?
Yeah, he's a judge.
Yeah.
And so perhaps there's some type of cover up going on because, you know, they're worried of his, you know, the power that he has as a judge. But it seems like, you know, they did arrest him in the beginning, so perhaps they did know something about him taking Natalie on the boat, so. And it's just really funny that everybody that I talked to, people who didn't know, the other people that I was talking to, were all saying it was, they all were saying it was Duran's father that took Natalie on that boat. So I think they have some
evidence
to it.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, guys, we've burned through another 60 minutes. We have 3 minutes remaining. Chris, did you have one more question before I let Paul go?
Just that. I wanted to know if Paul felt that these EVPs were up to par with others he collected, or better, or average. What did he feel about them once he took and listened to them? Because he was the one that was there and collected them and was in the spot that, you know, when it happened. How do you feel about them, Paul?
The one EVP where she says, don't know. If it is Natalie, I would say that was an average one. The other one, I'm not too proud of that one. That seems below average. I've heard clear EVPs. I've had EVPs just recently I did, and they're very clear where you can actually make out the words. So, and it seems like entities can only say about like 3 or 4 words at a time because they don't have the energy to carry on a full-on conversation.
Yeah.
So,
that's kind of the impression I got from the I don't know. It's like they were really forcing to be able to express themselves. Guys, we're into the final 2 minutes. Chris, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for co-hosting with me. Paul, an absolute pleasure. And we're going to catch you again in a couple of months and find out what else you've been up to, Mr. Bond.
I'm getting various scouting missions together, so we're going to probably go back to Mount Shasta, do some more UFO and Bigfoot hunting. We're going to go to the Green Valley Vortex, where, believe it or not, 2 high school kids actually claimed that they were chased by alien robots.
Oh, that one's going to be interesting.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. Hey, guys, we got a bail. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining me tonight.
Good night.
Well, thank you very much, Colin and Chris. So it was just a pleasure.
We will talk
and
to
I'll
you
keep
again
looking,
soon.
And I'll keep looking for your reports through the alienseekernews.com, Paul. So thank you very much for coming, guys. This has been a live event on the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. Good night now.